From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of sounds from the golden age of radio. I'm Jake Longwell. We'll open today's program with an episode of what would come to be known as radio's outstanding theater of thrills. I'm speaking of Suspense. Probably the longest-running program of its kind during radio's golden era, starting out in 1942 and running all the way through September 30th, 1962, when its final broadcast aired on the Columbia Broadcasting System. That night, Suspense and yours truly, Johnny Dollar, concluded their runs, and many old-time radio fans consider that night to be the end of the golden age of radio. This broadcast is from June 19th, 1956, during the Anthony Ellis era of Suspense, and stars Ben Wright, who does an amazing job with an English accent, as you'll hear, as he portrays a British sea captain in this episode entitled The Sleeping Draft. It's Suspense on the Upstate Radio Theater.
And now, tonight's presentation of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense. Tonight, we bring you a transcribed story of a convict ship and a bargain that ended in death. We call it A Sleeping Draft. So now, starring Ben Wright with Abraham Sofair, here is tonight's suspense play, A Sleeping Draft.
That helps. But it's like I say, you can't forget. You can never forget. It's at night that you think about it, with the water outside rushing past the hull. That's when you think, and it can never be the same. You can't trust anybody. Never. Not a soul. I can tell you. You just can't trust him. Not even yourself. What is it, mister?
Mr. Finch says he's ready to board, sir.
Oh, he is, eh? All right, I'm not stopping him.
Sir. He insists on bringing them aboard one at a time.
What? Does he think I'm going to miss the tide? There's over 400 of them. It'll take hours.
That's what I said, sir.
Mr. Finch, come aboard, if you please.
I'm sorry, sir.
I should have resigned. Stinking, filthy, poor devil cargo.
Everything aye cockalorum, Captain?
No, everything is not aye cockalorum. What in blazes do you mean ordering my mate about?
Oh, no offense intended, none taken, I hope.
I want those scurvy wretches aboard now. All of them. Put them below and we'll weigh anchor.
One at a time, sir. One at a time. We got to search them, you know.
Why didn't you do that before you took them out of jail?
Oh, you'll be surprised what those swine can pick up between jail and the docks. We got to search them one at a time. They're murdering devils, every last one of them, and that's a fact.
The convicts came aboard one by one. I watched them. They were going from London to a land they'd never seen. A colony had bought them. Australia. 400. The sweepings and scrapings sorted out from the muck of the jails, with Finch in charge of them. I've carried dirty cargoes, dyewood, for instance, crawling with scorpions and spiders, not to mention snakes. Then there's cattle. But this, weeks and months at sea with a human cargo who'd as soon cut your throat as spit. What made it worse was I felt sorry for the poor beggars. I watched them come aboard until there were two left.
Name? Wilkes.
Search him.
Hey, now, take your bleeding hands off me. I ain't got nothing. Ain't just stole me last farthing.
Now, shut your jaw. That's enough, Finch.
I won't have the cat used on my ship. I got enough of it where they're going.
Oh, you are a trusting soul, you are, Captain. How'd you like that between your ribs, Captain? Touch of the cat's a lot better than letting this swine bring a knife aboard, eh? Take him below. I don't know how they do it. Help me, I don't know. You got to watch him for them, right? Next.
Right.
Oh, here's a terror. Look at the size of him, eh? Dangerous swine. Three murders in Australia. Escaped. He's in for it when he gets back. Name?
Abbey. Jonathan Abbey.
Abbey. Well, a gentleman in chains. I am sorry, Your Worship. Forgive us for daring to lay hands on Your Highness. I'm sure as how you've been wrongly accused.
That's enough, Finch.
Sergeant, take him below. I want Mr. Jonathan Abbey shackled. He's a prize, he is. We mustn't let anything happen to him.
From the day we left London docks, I'd taken a violent dislike to Finch. He seemed to be happiest when he was laying about him with his cat on the convicts herded like sheep below decks. He kept him quiet enough, but one night I decided to have it out with him in the cabin. I made it strong, I can tell you, so that even he could understand what I meant.
You all finished, Captain? All right. Now you hear me out. They're a bad lot. 400 of them. All bound for Australia. They don't want to go. You follow me? Now there's that bloke, Abbey. Soon as we touch Sydney, the game's up for him. They'll hang him, sure.
That doesn't mean that you have the right to make life even worse for him here.
No. If I don't, where do you think we'll be? What would you do if you was down there? I'll tell you. You'd get hold of the ship. That's what you'd do. And it'd be easy.
They're locked in. We've got a guard.
You don't know them like I do. There's another thing. When I searched them, there was 1 to 5 sovereigns stowed away on every man, earned or stolen. That'll come to over £1,000 by my figures.
They're entitled to that money. It's little enough to take to a wild country.
It's truth. But there's them down there what'd slit the gullet of any man for a shilling. And you asked me to be dainty with them.
Ha! That's the way he talked to me. And I can tell you that I didn't feel easy anymore. I did something I hadn't done for a long time. I broke out 2 pistols from ship's stores and kept them under my pillow. It was when we got round the horn that the first convict died from scurvy. We had to put him over the side, of course, and there was a lot of grousing. I went down to the hold with Finch. It was hot and stinking.
Now, you let me talk to him, Captain. I'll put it to rights.
You tell him it couldn't be helped.
Ah, don't you mind. I'll tell him.
Oi! Here comes old bloody pot.
Hey, Finch! Did you steal the clothes off the poor beggar's back before you threw him in?
Them! We ain't men, dearie. We're dogs, or haven't you heard?
Why didn't you wait to bury poor old Smithy in the ground instead of chucking him in the sea?
All right.
We got another 2 or 3 weeks before we reach land, and I'll make a bargain with you. The next one what dies now that it's getting nice and hot, I'll just leave him down here. You can take care of him and mourn him till we get to Australia. How's that? Half a crown, you don't keep him for 3 days.
That's old bloody pot. Always a nose for business.
And if you ain't satisfied with that, I'll see that the hatch is closed down tight for the rest of the voyage. And you can boil for all of me.
That seemed to settle it for a time. I began to see that in spite of Finch's hardness with him, the prisoners knew he was master and behaved themselves. That is, most of them did. But there were others. And that's what began the trouble. We were 2 days out of the Cook Islands when it happened. Yes?
Captain, there's a man on deck. We brought him up from below. It's horrible.
What happened?
One of the convicts, sir.
Oh? Fight?
Yes, sir.
Here we be, Captain. Mr. Darling ain't much of a surgeon, I must say.
Oh, I did what I could. He must have been dead before we got him up here.
What? Why, he's been cut to pieces.
Not half, he ain't.
How did it happen?
Well, I heard him shout and I went down into the hold, and there he was, propped up like against the bars with his arms through, holding them up.
Poor devil.
Oh, him? No, he's dead, he is. There's others in for it, though.
What do you mean?
How do you think he got cut up like that, eh? Knives, Captain. Knives.
But you searched them before they bored
him. I did. In truth, I don't know how they done it. Small knives, Captain. Small knives. We're getting close to Australia, that's what it is. Whoever's got them knives is after money. The 1,000 quid or more what's on this cursed ship.
I don't see
how... Oh, you. You are a trustin' soul, you are, Captain. Maybe there's a dozen of them. Maybe 20 with knives. You follow me? They'll run the others and rob them blind. Gold sovereigns, Captain. You didn't forget, did you? If anybody objects, cut him up into small pieces, just like this one.
We've got to go down there and put a stop to it.
Yes, I don't think. How many guns you got aboard?
Well, two pistols and 4 muskets.
That's a fat lot of good. Oh, well, must take the sweet with the sour, like they say. We can try, no harm in that. Mark my words, Captain, before we get to Sydney, all of us will probably have our throats cut. Come on.
Finch and I, with 2 seamen, armed ourselves and went down into the hold and stood outside the bars. The men inside were quiet, very quiet. They just looked at us, dark-like.
You men!
I'll talk to them. Now listen to me. We know some of you are carrying knives. I want you to throw them out here. Nothing further will be said about it if you do as I say. Well?
Captain, my porridge wasn't hot enough this morning. And please, sir, can I have sugar in it tomorrow?
That ain't the way to talk to this scum.
The captain's a gentleman. I'm not. You know me, don't you?
We know you all right.
All right. You, Abby, you listen to me. I'm giving you till tomorrow morning to throw them knives out here. Till morning. If every blasted one ain't out of your dirty hands, I'm going to have you flogged. Every ruddy one of you. 50 lashes. Do you hear me, Mr. Abbey?
I'll think about it.
Till morning and then 50 lashes. You think about that, Mr. Abbey.
Good morning, Captain Deer and Mr. Finch.
You filthy scum, where's them knives?
Where they'll do the most good.
All right, I've given you a chance. I've played fair now.
Mr. Finch, sir, may I have a word with you?
Ah, come to your senses, have you?
Bend closer to the bars, because what I got to say, I got to whisper.
Well, what is it? What is it?
It goes like this.
Lashes, Wilkes. I'll take you first and handle the cat myself.
Oh, no, sir. Why not take him first? He won't feel it like I will.
The crowd of men parted suddenly, and from out of them was pushed what had once been a man. It fell against the bars, and then, no longer with the support of living arms, slid to the deck. We looked at him, Finch and me. His life had been worth a sovereign, maybe 2. He hadn't either now. And the knives were still in the hold with them that had killed him.
You are listening to A Sleeping Draft. Tonight's presentation on radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
With omniscience as rare a faculty as it is, most listeners like to be sure that their sources of information are reliably accurate. And that, in a nutshell, explains why so many listeners make it a point to learn what is happening in the world from members of the CBS News staff. Keep tuned to CBS Radio throughout the day and evening, and you'll keep in the know on local, domestic, and international affairs.
And now we bring back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. Ben Wright and Mr. Abraham Soffer, starring in tonight's production, A Sleeping Draft, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Is it? We got to have a council of war, in a manner of speaking, Captain.
I'll tell you one thing, Mr. Finch. There'll be no more flogging.
Oh, I can see you are a sharper, you are. Well, that's right. That's right. It's too dangerous. We ain't armed for it, and they're in a nasty mood. We got to be artful, same as they.
I wish we could spill the old lot of them overboard.
What, and lose your contract for carrying? Not bloody likely. Listen here. I'll get them knives.
How?
It's Abby. Abby's behind this. He tells them what's what. You get him out and the others will come round. You mark my words.
Are you going into the hole to get him?
Well, not yet. Not yet. Wouldn't be safe now. Not for nobody to go in there. But in 4 or 5 days, Captain, after we cut off their water and food, seal the hatch, you see what happens.
They die.
Well, they'll die from the knives, then. Which do you want? They'll be begging you to take the ruddy knives in 3 days.
And if they don't?
We tell them to hand over Abby to us, that he's the one to blame for their misfortune. That'll do it.
Yeah. All right. If that's the only way, I'll give the order.
Yeah, but not just yet, Captain. Not just yet. We'll let them sit down there and wonder, eh? Wonder what we're going to do about it. Some of them may get nervous. We'll let them wonder a bit.
I didn't see Finch the rest of the day. The barometer had fallen suddenly, and with it came a storm. I can tell you I had my hands full for the next 24 hours. There was no time to worry about what was going on in the hold of the ship, but I didn't think they'd have much stomach for knifing each other and killing. Next morning at breakfast, Finch didn't turn up. He didn't turn up at all. We searched the whole ship. And then I went down into the hold, and that's where he was. And he hadn't died quickly. Someone had held him against the bars, and the others had... He hadn't died quickly.
Present for you, Captain.
Who did this?
Who did it?
I wouldn't waste sleep mourning him, Captain. He was a bully, no better than us, except that he was outside.
Abby... I thought you were shackled.
I was, but Mr. Finch kindly supplied the key to unfasten me.
Oh, you're going to pay for this.
All of you! Where are those knives?
In here, Captain. Want to come in and get them?
You pay for this!
You're repeating yourself, Captain. Good morning.
The blasted convict had dismissed me. Like I was a clerk in an office. And there wasn't anything I could do about it. With Finch out of the way, they knew I was an easy mark. It was the nights that got on my nerves. I could hear things happening. Lots of things. And it was awful. Those devils with the knives. And then each morning we'd have to pull out 6 or 12, all cut about and bleeding. Most of them died. And those with the knives were getting money. Money they stole from the victims. I began to be afraid of my crewmen, that one would take a bribe, let that murdering crowd out. I walked around with 2 pistols in my jacket all the time. And then late one afternoon, something very bad happened. I was standing by the wheel.
Captain! Captain!
Here, Buster.
He got out, sir.
Got out who?
Who? The big one, Abby. 2 of us were standing guard. We heard a scream.
And it was Abby. Said he'd been stabbed. Benson opened the grill to get him, and Abby bashed him on the head and bolted.
What about the others?
Well, I got the grill closed in time. They're safe enough. He must be somewhere on the ship, sir. Unless he went overboard.
Not that one. He's up to mischief. Take one of my pistols, mister.
Aye, sir.
Pass out the muskets. I want every inch of this ship searched. If he puts up a fight, shoot him. Do you hear me? Shoot him!
The night comes quickly in southern parts. Did you ever try to search a ship at night with lanterns? It's not easy. Too many shadows. Too many sounds. Which could be rats or a murderer who's bigger than what you are and could choke your life out in half a minute. We couldn't find him, but he was somewhere aboard, waiting his time. And because we were shorthanded, what with the crew searching, I stood a watch and I thought about Abby. The man whom Finch said had committed 3 murders in Australia.
Don't turn around, Captain. It's only a little knife, but don't move.
What do you want?
A talk.
I've nothing to say to the likes of you.
That may be. But I've an offer to make you. You know what I'm in for when we reach Sydney.
Finch told me. I've no pity for you.
I'm not asking for pity. I've an offer to make.
Huh?
The men below are planning to take the ship. I don't think they've got a chance, but they'll be killing. Those that have got the knives have got the money, too. It's £1,200.
I'm aware of that, mister.
I can get the knives for you.
Ah? Uh-huh.
All I want is a chance to get away before the ship docks.
How do I know it isn't a trick?
Turn around, Captain. Here. My knife. Will that convince you? You must have a pistol. You can shoot me if you want.
What makes you think that you can get the knives away from me?
I can. That's all you need to know.
I couldn't help you openly, you know that. You were put aboard as a murderer. You're in my charge, and it's my job to turn you over to the police as soon as we arrive.
Then?
If you could get the knives, though, I might be able to give you a chance to clear out.
That's all I want. A chance.
All right.
I must have a pistol.
What?
A pistol.
You take me for a fool?
No, it's the only way to get the knives.
Yes, I'll give you this pistol and you shoot me down. Not likely.
If I'd wanted to do that, Captain, I'd have cut your throat 2 minutes ago.
Yes. But you're a murderer.
I know.
No, you can't have it.
It's either them or your ship and probably your life. Well?
You talk like a gentleman, but suppose you want my pistol so that you can free them.
You just have to trust me as I trust you to give me a chance to get away.
Take it. Here.
What about the guards below? They'll shoot.
I'll take you down. I'll say I caught you.
How do I get out again when I've got the knives?
Send word that you want to see me.
All right. Captain, I'm trusting you now. I want that chance to get away.
We'll talk about that if you get the knives. I'll take you below now and come back tomorrow.
Keep your voice low. They think I'm tricking you into making a bargain. They think I stole the pistol. I told them I had to have the knives to make you believe that we wouldn't make trouble. I said we'd take over the ship tonight.
What do you want me to do?
Leave me the key to the grill. I'll slip out tonight and bring you the knives.
They'll want you to let them out, too.
I won't. I'll lock it.
How do I know you will?
You don't. You'll have to trust me, won't you?
Yes. Do they know about this plan?
All except for the fact that I'm going to lock them in once I'm out.
Now, give me the knives now.
No, they'd know something was wrong. I'd never get out alive. Give me the key.
All right. Here.
Tonight.
I waited, and I can tell you I didn't like it. The wind came up a bit, and I knew that before sunrise we'd be in Sydney. That is, if I could trust a murderer.
10 o'clock that night, there was a tap on my cabin door.
One of your crew nearly caught me coming down here. I've kept my side of the bargain. Oh, you needn't worry. The knives are all there. Here's your pistol.
No. You may need it.
Oh, thanks. Now, how do I get away?
We'll be in port in about 6 hours if the wind holds. You stay aft in the longboat.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear the anchor go, drop over the side and swim for it.
Very well.
I'll try to anchor as close to land as possible before I take her in.
If I can land without being seen, I've got some friends who'll hide me.
Yes, well, I don't want to know about it. Just remember, when the anchor's let go, that's your signal.
Thank you, Captain. I trust you. I'd like to shake hands with you.
I took the hand of the murderer, and we shook hands like old friends. And then he was gone. Two hours later, the wind went down, and in its place came fog, thick, mucky fog. I had me hands full, what with danger from other ships and the blasted current that knocks you about off the harbor entrance. By 3 o'clock, the fog had shut in properly. A blessed tide ran us all over the place. Proper dangerous, I can tell you. We were about 15 miles offshore. I didn't like the look of things. There's shoals thereabout, and I sent the mate forward to heave the lead. I got a proper start when I heard him sing out,
"By the deep!
We got off course right enough, and at this rate, we'd shear the bottom clean off of her. I saw it was high time to bring the ship up and wait until we could see something.
Let go the anchor!
Let go the anchor!
Give her 35 fathoms to the water's edge, bosun!
Aye, sir!
Not too soon, sir. She was shoaling fast.
That blasted current must be making 5 knots out to sea. Listen to her.
She's holding, sir!
The anchor! The anchor!
Abby!
I ran to the longboat. It was empty. He'd heard the signal as the anchor paid out. Couldn't see in the fog and had gone overboard into a 5-knot tide running straight out to sea, 15 miles from shore. He trusted me. That's why I tell you, you shouldn't trust anybody. Sometimes it's hard sleeping at night. When you hear the water outside, you think. That's when it's hard. To sleep.
Suspense. In which Mr. Ben Wright starred with Mr. Abraham Sofair in tonight's presentation of A Sleeping Draft. Be sure to listen again next week when we bring you another presentation of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense. Suspense is transcribed in Hollywood by Anthony Ellis. Tonight's story was written by Weston Martyr and adapted for radio by Mr. Ellis. The music was composed by Renee Garagank and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Featured in the cast were Abraham Sofair, Eric Snowden, Hans Conried, Charlie Lung, Stan Jones, and Raymond Lawrence.
Got money to burn? Well, neither has Uncle Sam. The nation cannot afford to let precious timber go up in smoke. As an American, you cannot afford to let a carelessly tossed cigarette start a forest fire that may cost millions of dollars and may even cost human life. Help keep our forest lands green and growing. Stay tuned now for 5 minutes of CBS News to be followed on most of these same stations by My Son Jeep.
Suspense, and their presentation, The Sleeping Draft. That CBS broadcast from June 19th, 1956. You heard it here on the Upstate Radio Theater. My name is Jake Longwell. It's a pleasure to present sounds from the golden age of radio each week, and I hope you enjoy these old radio shows as much as I do. And if you enjoy the program, why not let me know? Feel free to send email anytime to qualityradioproductions@yahoo.com. Also, don't forget to check out our blog and website with full program playlist info and streaming audio of this and other past episodes of the Radio Theater, available for you at qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. This is show number 1408. For our second and final offering this week, we will turn to a literary classic as interpreted by the cast of Your Playhouse of Favorites. This was a syndicated transcription series, and some of the episodes in the collection that I accessed have dates, some do not. This episode does not have a date, but we can gather that this show ran during the late 1940s, perhaps 1948. And this is their interpretation of the classic Robin Hood. It's family entertainment at its best, old-time radio style. It's Your Playhouse of Favorites, wrapping up this edition of the Upstate Radio Theater.
Your Playhouse of Favorites. How do you do? This is Robert Anthony Dean inviting you to Your Playhouse of Favorites. Our story today concerns a legendary hero whose love of fair play and bold deeds have been written down in ballads since the time of Chaucer. His fame is equal to that of bluff King Hal or bonny Prince Charlie. In fact, as the poet said, while England shall be England, Robin Hood will be well-loved name. So, in a moment, with Court Benson in the title role, Your Playhouse of Favorites brings you Robin Hood, taken from the old ballad set down in 1475 by Wynkyn de Worde. On the shelf of immortal romantic classics, we now take down the ballads of Robin Hood. During the absence of Richard the Lionheart at the Crusades, the misrule of Prince John and his satellites had caused much misery in England. But there arose a champion of justice, an outlaw, bold and true, who robbed the rich and greedy to help the poor and oppressed. Now come with me to Sherwood Forest and learn of Robin Hood and his men, and of Lady Marian and the proud Sheriff of Nottingham.
Some more of this good brown ale, Friar Tuck?
Some good red deer. Do me more good, little Jen. We've fasted 3 long hours.
Ah, by St. Crispin, a body rotund as yours has small need to dine, Jolly Tuck. Besides, it is our master Robin's wish that we await his return.
I know. Bringing some fat abbot to feast with us.
Aye, and to pay a goodly reckoning. Tis Robin Hood's horn. Methinks, fat friar, you will soon be feasting to your belly's content.
But look, you little John. Tis no fat abbot who accompanies Robin.
Aye. As sad and sorrowful a knight as ever I looked upon. Who can he be?
Will Scathelock, Allan a Dale, Littlemuch,
Gather around. The master brings a special guest.
Yes, a guest. Here he comes over
there. Hold on, my merry men. Ah, this worthy knight is Sir Richard of the Lee. Make him welcome to our good cheer and feasting.
Welcome indeed, sir.
You are timely come, Sir Knight.
Aye, welcome to Robin Hood's band.
Thank you, sirs. God rest you all.
And now, Sir Richard, sit you here beside me and eat your fill of venison and pheasant.
Thank you.
And plenty of bread and ale.
Aye, Friar Tuck, plenty of everything at Robin Hood's table for those who are deserving.
"'Tis many a week since I've had such meat and drink, good Robin. But I cannot pay, for I have but 10 shillings to call my own.
Ah, you can repay us, gentle knight, by telling us what brought you to these sorry straits.
To save my son's life, he entered a tournament, and by mischance slew the squire of Guy of Gisborne.
Ah, he's a dangerous enemy. He's one of Prince John's jackals.
I pledged my lands and castle to raise the ransom money.
When must you repay the debt?
This very day at setting sun.
Mm-hmm. And there's no time to lose. How great is the sum you owe?
With usury, it has grown to 500 pounds.
Usury?
Aye, the Sheriff of Nottingham.
The Sheriff of Nottingham. Enough. I'd expected as much. That scheming knave is a blight to our fair England. Little John.
Aye.
Go to our treasury and fetch some gold. Sir Richard's debt will be paid this hour.
My heart is full, good Robin. How can I speak my gratitude?
Friar Tuck.
Aye.
Will Skavelock.
Aye, Robin.
Clothe our guest in proper raiment and speed him on his way. I go to find the thieving sheriff, and little will he like the trick I mean to play on him.
Good morrow, good people, a butcher am I. I've flesh to sell, who'll buy, who'll buy?
Who is he?
He's new to the town.
He's deaf, but he's getting all the trade.
He sells more meat for a penny than others do for three.
And gives it free to poor widows.
Now come all ye lasses, a butcher am I. I've flesh to sell, who'll buy, who'll buy?
Out of my path, you lout. Make way for his worship, the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Guy of Gisborne curses his black heart.
And the Lady Marion is with him.
Here, Sheriff, is the fellow who sells his meat so cheap the other butchers complain.
No doubt he's a thief or a fool. Butcher, I would speak with you.
But, Sheriff, he means no harm. I like the twinkle in his eyes.
Ah, fair lady, such beauty speaks in my behalf.
Silence, fellow! How dare you address the Lady Marion Fitzwalter?
So you are the Lady Marion Fitzwalter?
Yes, butcher, so I am called.
What can that possibly mean to you, sir? Only what she must mean to every man that sees her. The freshness of morning dew, the sweetness of a summer rose.
Enough. Lady Marion, return to the castle at once with Sir Guy. I would speak with this amazing butcher alone.
Come, Lady Marion, this is no proper place for you.
Now, butcher, I'll make it worth your while if you tell me how you come by all this meat.
Your noble worship, I can show you great herds of horned beasts.
That you will sell to me? To me alone?
Aye. All you care to buy, illustrious sheriff. No one else need know.
Where are these herds? Far from here?
My broad acres are but a few leagues away, Excellency.
Then I will have my palfrey saddled and ride with you straightway.
Remember, bring your money bags to seal the bargain.
Eh? What's that?
I say, bring plenty of gold. You'll have need of it.
See here, butcher. I like not this forest road. It is dangerously close to that villain Robin Hood's lair.
Why should you fear, good master sheriff? Robin Hood has never yet harmed a just man. And surely your justice itself...
Of course. But I wish I were far from here. By the saints, where are these beasts of yours?
In the glade ahead and through these trees. There! Look yonder, sheriff. There are my horned beasts.
What? Those are the king's deer.
Aye. Are they not fat and fair and worth all your gold? And behold my broad acres, and a merry band to welcome you.
Ah, 100 devils, I've been tricked. They are Robin Hood's men.
Aye, sweet sheriff, and Robin himself to serve you. Hola, little John, merry men all. Gather round to greet our worshipful guest,
the Sheriff of Nottingham!
The Sheriff!
Look you, Sir Guy, coming through the castle gate. A comic figure clad in pilgrim's rags. Good sooth, I vow, 'tis the proud Sheriff of Nottingham.
Aye, 'tis indeed. As sorry a sight as ever I saw.
Help me. Help me to a bench before I swoon.
Your worship, what has befallen you?
I fell among the outlaws, a pox on them all. And that butcher fellow was none other than Robin Hood.
The butcher? Robin Hood?
Beshrew his heart. And they robbed you of your shoes and velvet robes.
Aye, and of my jeweled chain and rings. They jested while I cursed their villainy and taunted me with boasts of their prowess with a longbow.
And then let you go?
After I had paid them 500 pieces of gold.
By your leave, Sheriff, I needs must laugh. The majesty of law and order brought to such confusion.
Impudent thing!
You forget yourself, Lady Marian. You'll speak with more seemly tongue when you're my bride.
Leave us!
I'll never wed you, Guy of Gisborne. Never.
By the breath of my body, Sir Guy, I crave to see this Robin Hood hung from the highest tree.
Let me ride in force to Sherwood Forest and seize that noisome whelp.
Ah, fool's errand to try to take him there. We must lure him to Nottingham. But how? How?
Wait, Sheriff. Did you not say that Robin Hood boasted of his prowess with the longbow?
Aye.
Well, what better way to draw him from his den than a test of skill?
A master thought, Sir Guy. Robin Hood could never resist so great a challenge.
And with a golden arrow as the prize, so rich a bait will surely tempt him.
Then proclaim this news, Sir Guy, to all the archers in the land. 1 week hence, the greatest shooting match the town of Nottingham has ever seen.
Stranger in red.
By St. Crispin, we have seen noble shooting this day.
There are but three archers left facing the butts.
Nay, two only, for old Clem of the Clough hath ceded the prize to the others.
No man can best yon tattered fellow in red.
I'll lay you 20 silver pennies on Gilbert of the White Hand.
Gilbert! Oh, Gilbert of the White Hand!
Wait, a new target has been set. They take their places at the mark.
Shh! Hockey, hockey, hockey! The judges will now decide between these final twain. Who shall win the arrow of fair gold? From 70 yards and 10, ye shall shoot, and but one arrow.
One arrow.
Gilbert of the White Hand, fit your arrow to the bow.
It is so done.
Then shoot ye for the golden shaft. Paul Gilbert, a perfect shot.
It's lodged a finger's breadth from the center.
Well done, Gilbert. Now let the ragged stranger try to better that shot.
Harkee, harkee. Stranger, whatever your name be, fit your arrow to the bow. Stand ready.
I am ready.
Then shoot.
Now speed thee well, my Grey Goose shaft.
Sheriff, he has split Gilbert's arrow in twain.
The danger is won.
A guy, never have I seen such skill. Bring the fellow to me.
Make way
for the ragged one.
By all the saints in paradise, that was a lovely shaft in very truth. Here, come here, fellow. The prize is yours. Take the golden arrow from the hand of my ward, the Lady Marian Fitzwalter.
I have carried the image of Lady Marian in my heart since first I saw her.
Oh, it's you. How dared you come?
Have no fear, fair lady. Present the prize.
I present this golden arrow as a prize fairly won. You did bravely, sir.
Not even the cowardly knave Robin Hood could have done so well. Now, what is your name, fellow?
Some call me Reynold Greenleaf.
Then, Reynold, take service with me. I can use such a man.
Nay, that I will not. No man in all England save the king shall be my master.
No more and seize thee for a churlish rogue. Get your hands.
Aye, my lord, and that right speedily. Till we meet again, Lady Marian.
Fare thee well, stranger. Fare thee well.
Sir Guy, there was something about that saucy knave that belied his tattered raiment.
It is a great pity it was not Robin Hood himself.
How did our plan fail? For by me troth,
I was sure that rogue would show his face at the games today. I thought him bold and not such a craven coward.
Whence
came that arrow?
There's a scroll threaded on the shaft.
Read it. Read it, Sir Guy.
Rejoice to learn, O generous sheriff, that I shall treasure your prize arrow until the day I plant it in your black heart.
What's this? What's this? Who sent this message?
It's signed.
Give me that scroll. Yes, 'tis as I thought. Robin Hood. Oh, Robin Hood.
And so the curtain falls on the first act of the story of Robin Hood, as the old ballads tell it. Now back to the story of Robin Hood, as told in the old ballads, presented by your Playhouse of Favorites and starring Court Benson. Robin Hood, the merry outlaw of Sherwood Forest, through his love of fair play, has gained a friend in Sir Richard of the Lee and made an enemy of the crafty Sheriff of Nottingham. The sheriff proclaimed an archery contest, failed in his plan to capture the wily Robin, who, by dyeing his beard and disguising himself in rags, won the match and escaped to Sherwood Forest. The second half of our story takes us back to the greenwood tree. Some months have passed, but our brave outlaw is still dreaming of the lovely face of the Lady Marian. Little John and Friar Tuck are watching him. Little John speaks.
By thy bald pate, Friar Tuck, our jolly Robin has greatly changed these months past.
Aye, since that archery match he has wont to gaze into space and sigh like a lovesick swain.
Ah, I fear me it has robbed him of his daring, for it is over long since he has sought adventure.
Perhaps yonder horseman crossing the glen may serve to cure his wool gathering. Look you, little John, a squire rides with him.
Hola, good Robin, bestir thyself. We have a guest, and I mistake not.
Hola, Robin Hood. Ah, 'tis Richard of the Lee. Welcome, Sir Richard.
Good morrow, friend Robin. Ah, little John and holy father.
Greetings, Sir Richard.
Greetings to all of you.
Greetings. How now, sir? Methinks you're much gayer than when last in Sherwood. What brings you?
Well, friend Robin, this is a happy day for me, for I am come to repay the great debt I owe you.
Put by your gold, brave knight. For have you not heard that the sheriff himself paid your debt to us some time ago?
Then, if you will not accept my gold, my squire yonder bears a special gift, one you'll not refuse.
Your squire? Well, bid him hither.
Nay, Robin, for the lad is young and overshy.
Shy? Why, then I'll go to him and teach him to be bold. So, ho, young stripling, you have a word for the ear of Robin Hood.
Yes, and it please you.
Merciful heaven. 'Tis the Lady Marian. Oh, my sweet, what dost thou here?
I prevailed upon Sir Richard to bring me as his squire, for I so needed to seek your aid.
I would serve you to the death if need be, my lady.
Then save me from Guy of Gisborne. The sheriff swears to make me marry him.
But you're the king's ward. He dare not do this.
He dares anything. He has usurped the power of guardian and sent to London for the Bishop of Hereford.
Have you no kinfolk, no protector?
When I was a child, our dear king betrothed me to the young Earl of Huntingdon.
Robert of Huntingdon? Do you know where he is now?
Alas, I know not, because he gave his revenues to the poor rather than to enrich Prince John's coffers. He was banished.
Did you love this young earl?
We were but children.
Have you thought what he might be like today?
Somehow, he might have your look. Yes, he might be such a man as you.
And you could love such a man?
Yes, Robin. I think I might. Very easily.
Oh, my love. Then bide here with me, and you need never fear this Guy of Gisborne.
Nay, Robin. I must in honor await the king's return.
Then ride back to Nottingham with Sir Richard. But swear by this kiss.
I swear, dear Robin.
Send me instant word of the bishop's arrival, and I shall be at your side. For now, my lovely Marion, you belong to me, and I'm the proudest man in all this glorious world.
Hey, what ho, landlord! More tankards of this good English ale. Zounds, what a morning this was. What a merry chase we've had.
Aye, sir, but we've not yet run our fox to earth.
We will. The day is yet young.
Here's your ale, gentlemen.
Stay, good landlord. Perchance you may help us. Dost know the outlaw, Robin Hood?
Aye, sir.
We seek this fellow. But for 3 hours we've ridden Sherwood Forest end to end. And by St. Withel, all we found was silence and a few deer.
Simple gentry such as you could never find Robin Hood.
Simple gentry? What do you mean, fellow?
Oh, no disrespect, gentlemen. But he will find you in the twink of an eye. And you take my advice.
What advice, oh wise landlord?
Ride to yonder abbey, and there clad yourself as a lord abbot, and your company as monks.
And that being done, you say he will find us?
Aye, sirs. For bold Robin can smell a Percy Abbot a league away.
Mm. To the abbey, then. We'll try his plan. Here's your reckoning, landlord. And thank ye.
Ah, these monk's robes be hot and cumbersome.
Yes, and this abbot's hood is stifling, but it serves to cover my countenance.
Wait, sir. There are men in Lincoln green in yon covert.
The landlord's right. The fox hath nosed us out.
Hold, Sir Abbot. For these hands itch to feel the miser's gold in that fat purse.
What ho, an abbot!
With money bags I have.
Aye, set your arrows, lads, lest they prove troublesome. Aye. Dismount, I say.
What is this place, and who art thou, sirrah?
Robin Hood, host at the Sign of the Greenwood Tree.
So at last I found the traitor Robin Hood, eh?
I cast that lie in your teeth, proud abbot, for each of us here would lay down his life for our dear king. We are honest yeomen who serve his majesty well.
Honest? When you would rob an abbot of his tithe?
Aye. To help the victims of smug priors and the fawning lickspits of Prince John.
Well spoken.
It would seem there's more justice today in Sherwood than at Prince John's court.
Now, by St. Charity, give over that purse, or must I take it?
And what if I refuse so much as a cracked farthing?
Then that cowl of yours will taste a drubbing from my stout quarterstaff.
It ill befits my garb to smite a yeoman. But if yon tall fellow will but hand me that cudgel he bears...
Here, take little John's staff, bold abbot, and woe betide ye. All our men, about!
Stand back! For the abbot!
Take up your cudgel.
Now look to yourself.
Come at him, Robin!
On my oath! You are a stalwart prior. Here's a stroke to fellow Knox.
Come, man, smite more boldly. Are you faint-hearted?
Out upon it, abbot. Wilt cry a mercy?
Never. Now guard thy pate. Take that. And that. How like you this love, Pat?
I yield me.
Robin is stricken to the earth.
Devil take this abbot. You'll not go free for that. Come on, lads.
Nay, little John, forbear. For he's a stout fellow. Hey. Here, wilt take my hand, abbot, and be my friend.
Robin Hood! Ah. Ho, Robin Hood!
Messenger!
I am hard ridden.
What news, man? Speak, friend, speak!
I ride for Lady Marion in Nottingham. The Bishop of Hereford has come from London town. The wedding takes place at sundown.
My thanks, lad. Now hear ye, my true and loyal men. By all your hopes of heaven... Make haste with me to Nottingham to rescue the Lady Marion.
But the sheriff will have men-at-arms at all the gates.
Their broadswords are no match for our clothyard shafts. Besides, there are other ways to enter the town.
Other ways in truth, friend Robin. They will not bar the gates to men in holy orders. My monks and I will ride into the town with you.
You will join us, abbot?
That I will. For do we not both love justice and a good fight?
Sir spare me this hateful marriage, Sheriff. Do not profane our holy chapel.
And lose the gold that Guy of Gisborne has paid me for your hand? You think me mad?
Have you no pity in your heart? Give me a little while longer.
Sniveling girl, be quiet.
Enough of this delay, Sheriff. The Lord Bishop awaits us. Must I carry my bride to the altar?
Do not touch me, Guy of Gisborne. I hate you.
Peace. Peace, my child. A bride with tears on her bonny cheek.
Lord Abbot, this is none of your affair. How passed you by my men-at-arms?
Surely a man in holy orders may visit a chapel.
Out of my way, Abbot. Let this wedding proceed.
Come, Lady Marian. Give me your hand.
Nay, Guy of Gisborne. I think you will not dare to enter yon chapel.
Who says me nay?
Robin Hood!
Aye. Look yonder, Sheriff, in every tree and on the walls. Men in Lincoln green with long bows.
Yeoman of the guard! Yeoman of the guard!
A thousand devils! Where are the men-at-arms?
How now, friend Sheriff? We meet again. Your men-at-arms will not serve you. They fear the arrows of my merry men. Oh, Marian, my lady, you are safe.
Safe now with you, my dear one.
A pretty picture. The king's outlaw and the king's ward. What would his wandering majesty say to that?
His majesty would say, we are pleased indeed.
King Richard?
Sire.
Your majesty.
Pardon for my men, sire.
I know well your loyalty, Robin. The outlaw shall have full pardon. And now, fair Lady Marian, we shall soon wed you to your betrothed, the Earl of Huntingdon.
Sire, from my heart, on my knee, I beg your royal leave to marry the man I love, Robin Hood.
So? Well, come then. 'Tis unchristian to keep the Lord Bishop waiting. We'll wed you to both of them.
Your Majesty, I know not what you mean.
Tell her, Robin.
Gladly, sire. My sweet lady, I, thy lover, am that Robert of Huntingdon, whom men have called Robin Hood.
And so the curtain falls on the legend of Robin Hood, as brought to you by your Playhouse of Favorites and starring Court Benson. This is Robert Anthony Dean reminding you that front row seats are reserved for you the very next time our curtain rises on another romantic classic, presented for your favorite listening pleasure by your Playhouse of Favorites.
An obscurity from the Golden Age of Radio, the family-oriented drama series, Your Playhouse of Favorites. From circa 1948, that syndicated transcription broadcast, starring Court Benson, and their interpretation of Robin Hood. And with that, we come to the end of this edition of the Upstate Radio Theater. My name is Jake Longwell. I hope you enjoyed my selections this time around, and I look forward to your company again next time for another hour of classic sounds from radio's golden era. The Upstate Radio Theater is a presentation of Quality Radio Productions.